Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 22nd, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we listen, pay attention to an extraordinary story. I'm quickened to say, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? I'm quickened to say, boy, I really know how you make it through that after I heard what you've gone through. I'm quickened to say, I am overwhelmed and proud to know that a Bahamian has come this far. I'm quickened to say, man, it's good to be Bahamian. Today, actually, I have in studio a guest I met while I was walking through the halls, right? I noticed him, or I know him from yesteryears when he was interviewed, being the first Bahamian head boy. And I always get this part mixed up. Was it Sweden?
Scotland.
And correct his mic for me, because I can't hear him through my mic as yet. First Bahamian head boy at his school in Scotland. And that story overwhelmed me. But there's a story of man, the story behind the man, how he get to be here. In fact, I was surprised to see him even in the Bahamas after his great accomplishments abroad, to know that he returned home to continue to contribute to the development of the Bahamas. That itself impressed me. But I want you to call your name up, because I'm going to mispronounce it, right? Okay. I mispronounce it, but I want people to know who you are and to hear the name so they can know who you are in the future. Go ahead, say who you are.
The name is Karanjaya Schlagenhauf.
Karanjaya
Schlagenhauf. The last name you don't have to pronounce.
Schlagenhauf.
Yes.
Schlagenhauf.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you the story how he got that name, Schlagenhauf. How? Say it again.
Schlagenhauf.
Yes, right?
That's correct.
And because that story in itself is important, right? Mm-hmm. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to Mr. Karanjaya Schlagenhauf. Mm-hmm. And I actually have two tickets to give away today. The first person who will call in and pronounce Mr. Schlagenhauf's first name, Karanjaya,
yes,
gets two tickets for the Real Betrayal movie. It's going to be a red carpet event that's going to be happening on Friday, June 30th at the Atlantis Theater. It's a red carpet event, the debut of the Real Bahamian Betrayal movie. It's going to be high end. It's going to be at 6 p.m., right? And so the first person who's able to pronounce his name will get those two tickets. But I want to start the conversation with Mr.
Karanjaya.
It's easy to pronounce the last name. Schlagenhauf.
Schlagenhauf.
It's a Schlagenhauf, right? Mr. Schlagenhauf, you were born in Nassau, the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. For some unfortunate events, your mother died and you were put into the children's home, the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me that narrative,
mm-hmm,
because your story, not necessarily starting from being in the children's home,
mm-hmm,
and at such an early age,
mm-hmm,
but you surviving the children's home and ending up all the way in Scotland,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want the listening audience to hear that story. So you can start your story,
mm-hmm,
any way you want to tell it out, and I'll interrupt when I need to in terms of explaining it.
Thank you, CA. So I grew up, I was born and raised for a bit in Freeport, Grand Bahama, so I'm a Grand Bahamian. And of course, life was very challenging. My father was very abusive, and abusive to my mother and my siblings and I. And after so long, social workers came in and they stepped in to ensure that we had a better future. Of course, growing up, we don't always feel that the orphanage or the social workers, the social service department is the best. Coming to find out now as an older individual that it actually is indeed, sometimes the best decision to make in terms of the wealth and the health of, young Bahamian people, but young people all around the world. And so I left the Freeport, Grand Bahama, to move over to Nassau. And at the tender age of 4, I was placed into the orphanage home, the Nazareth Center Children's Home. And after 2 years there, my mother was successful in getting us out. And of course, she got us out. After she got us out, we were placed back in the home because she went back to my abusive father. And the social workers told her if she gave us to him again, that she would have never seen us again. And that's exactly what happened. At the age of 11, I was just about to graduate grade 6 at Yellow Elder Primary School. My mother died of a brain aneurysm on her birthday. She was 43 years old. It was the most difficult, I think, part of my life, because at 11, I had just turned 11 because I'm January 20th and she's February 7th. So losing my mother at that age, it was the most difficult thing. And knowing that the only person left who would have been able to take us out of the home would have been my biological father. So it was scary to know that that was going to be my ending. At least that's what I thought. But I always believed in myself. I believed in the power of knowledge. So I stayed in my studies. I continued to excel in academics. And shortly after that, we left. I went to the Elizabeth Estates Children's Home, and after almost half a year.
I love you telling the story, mm-hmm. but I want to know the age now. You mm-hmm. were at the Elizabeth Estates Elizabeth Estates Children's Home at mm-hmm. what age again?
11. So just after my mother died, she died in February. I graduated in June, mm-hmm. and the Nazareth Center Children's Home only deals with young kids from baby straight to grade 6. Mm-hmm. After grade 6, you either go into the Ranfley Home or the Elizabeth Estates Children's Home.
So you were at Elizabeth Estates Children's Home
with the rest of my siblings.
Okay, how many siblings do you have?
6. So it's 7 of us. My mother and father had a lot of fun back then.
Yes. So yeah. 6 siblings and 7 of you in total.
That's correct.
And how many were sent to the home?
Every single one went through the hands of the system. Every single one. But upon my mother's death, it was only 5 of us, the last youngest ones. So my mother had, it's 3 boys, then a girl, and then 3 other boys. We were all in the home, but the first two were old, so they had mm-hmm. already left the system.
So they were already older. 18?
Yes.
Plus?
18 plus.
Mm-hmm. And so they didn't have to go back into the system, or back into the children's home when your mother died.
That's correct.
But the last 5,
yes,
you being the youngest.
Yes.
You were returned back into the system.
Yes.
And went to the Elizabeth Children's Home.
Yes.
How long were you at the Elizabeth Estates Children's Home?
I would say a few months, because after my mother died in February, social service started to work on getting us out of the orphanage. I don't know if they felt sorry for us after we lost our mother, because she was quite a beautiful soul. And so they worked very hard. We had a nice social worker, Mrs. Taylor, at the time. She's still in social service today. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. She worked tirelessly with her team, got us out. We went to Tropical Gardens, living with my biological father.
Wait. You're being thankful that the social services intervened to get you out of the system. But they sent you back to your abusive father? That you say?
Yes. Yes. And I'm grateful because, you know, we wanted, at the end of the day, to leave the orphanage. We were sick and tired of the orphanage. This was our second time now in the system. And I wouldn't say that the system was always the best. Not the social service system, but the homes. They were very, the staff members, they sometimes were very mean towards us. They would say things like, oh, that's why your mother didn't want you now, or that's why you're in the home. But you also had a handful of staff who also, you know, meant well and always encouraged us to continue going for our goals and reaching. But I would say that I am very grateful to them that they even place us in the home, because where would I have been mm-hmm. if they did not take me the first time? We were not eating. We were not going to school. I didn't know how to read. I didn't know how to do mathematics. And so, yes, it was very difficult leaving my mother, leaving the family, you know, the home that I once knew. But at the same time, I am very grateful to the Ministry of Social Service for taking us, because look at where I am today. You know, I'm very grateful to that.
I understand. So now your father worked to get you out of the home. Mm-hmm. You were in mm-hmm. Elizabeth Estates mm-hmm. Children's Home mm-hmm. at this present time.
This is correct.
Your father secured a job, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he brought you home to Tropical Gardens.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I want you to describe your living situation in Tropical Gardens. Because Tropical mm-hmm. Gardens, everybody's rich.
Yes.
Everybody's rich in Tropical Gardens,
indeed,
right?
Yes.
So, describe Tropical Gardens and how you were living in Tropical Gardens.
Well, it wasn't I don't know if you would call it living, but I lived with my siblings. The social service, when they left us, when they allowed us to leave the orphanage, they gave us a bed from the orphanage. So Each sibling of mine and myself, we all took one bed and a sheet. So whatever we had at the Elizabeth Estates, we were able to take with us. So we were sleeping on the bed, but my biological father was quite a big guy. So he took all of the beds. And so we had one bed, and the one bed used to sleep three of my siblings. So
he take all the bed for himself?
Yes. For himself. He was quite a greedy man.
And put y'all... On 5 year back,
yes.
On one bed.
Yes, not only on one bed, but we also slept on the floor, on the cold floor. So we had one sheet that we would normally cover up with. We slept on the floor. And then, of course, we would use another sheet. So, you know, we call it mash up like sardine and tuna. Mm-hmm. You have to lap up. So you have one at the head, the next one at the foot, the next one at the head, the next one at the foot. And that's how we lived. Water was leaking through the
Describe the house in Trump again.
It's a very big home. But we had no light, we had no water, we had no food. Every morning, my father would tell us we have to go out sponsoring, meaning asking people. We would wake up sometimes at 6 o'clock hungry because we didn't have dinner, and we would knock on the door and ask people for money and ask people to feed us. And you know, sometimes they said yes and sometimes they said no. But I have to stop and really say I am grateful to one Miss Vanita Sanders Green. That was the girlfriend of my biological father at the time. And every day, she works at the post office. Every day, she would go, and he was abusive to her too. He used to beat her too. But every day, she would go from work, late after work at 5 o'clock, cook at our house, and bring us a hot meal every day. And sometimes that was the only meal we had. And so she never turned it back, and that's why up to the day, I still talk to her, and I'll always be grateful, because I tell you, there was sometimes I wanted to commit suicide, because my father, he would beat us. He was a gambler, so if he went away and he gambled and he didn't make the money and he came back home, he would take his frustrations out on all of us. And me being the youngest, I took it very, 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 very much. I took it from him. But
do you mind saying your surname before you changed the slogan?
I was a Forbes.
So you're just Bohemian?
Yes, I'm Bohemian. Yes.
You're a Forbes. I know Forbes.
Yes. Forbes from Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know Forbes.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Russell before. Yeah.
And because I have a text saying, what was your name before you get Slogan Hoff?
Karajaya Forbes.
Right? And they want to basically associate you with the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm a Bohemian. Proud Bohemian. I have my pin on. I don't know if some people can see it because I know it's a radio show, but I'm a proud Bohemian. Very proud Bohemian.
How did your father get the house in Tropical Garden?
He used to work on the farm. He did handiwork for Sinclair, down to an adventure farm, the owner, Sinclair, in Cowpin Road. And after so long, of course, it's a very big home. Sinclair had just finished renovating it and wanted to sell it. And the story goes that Sinclair wanted someone in the house to ensure that nobody was living there illegally. And so my biological father was there basically to protect the home. But we never paid him, not $1, not $1. And some of my siblings are still there today with no water and all of these other things.
Your older siblings are still there.
Some of them.
Still without no water.
Yes.
No electricity.
Yes.
Just that hard life.
Yes.
Let's transfer now. You're about to go off to Scotland.
Yes.
It's impossible for you living inside the situation you live in to get opportunity to get to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get to Scotland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm rushing the story because there's so much intricacies I want to go in detail with.
Yes.
But how did you get to Scotland? How did you get to have this Scottish last name?
Yes.
The Swiss last name that you have.
Yes. So I think if I could recall, I think the highlight of me being the son of my biological father must have been when he handed us over to my now adopted father, Mr. Beat Schlagenhoff. He came, he was an investor.
Let's pronounce the name, Mr.
Mr. Beat, B-E-A-T, Schlagenhoff, yes.
And that's who adopted you?
Yes, he adopted
me. And who's your adopted father
yes,
now?
Yes, now, my brother and I, the last two were adopted.
And he adopted two of you?
Yes.
He adopted you and your brother, last two?
The last
you
two.
You were being, how old were you when you got adopted?
We started the adoption at 12, actually.
So, but a year after going into the Elizabeth Estates home?
No, a year after leaving the Elizabeth Estates Children's Home, yes.
Okay.
Almost, because, you know, we met him in December 14th. I remember the day vividly. It was December 14th. My biological father was a cleaner at a radio show down over Beanstown with Scrooge. And my adopted father was there promoting his project that he would like to build. It's a boutique resort in Eleuthera, and it's moving very slow, but I hope it comes to fruition very soon. But he went to promote his idea for the resort. And after he was done and he got off air, he was leaving, and my biological father as a cleaner intersected him and started speaking to him, and he told him biological father told my adopted father the story about how we had just left the home, we didn't have a place to stay, we didn't have food to eat, and we were actually very close to returning for the third time to be wards of the state for the third time. And so of course my adopted father now with his heart listened to the story, and he said he wants to help. He met us on December 14th. It was the first time I ever saw $100 because he gave each of us $100.
When you say each of you, it's five of you at home?
Yes, five of us.
I mean, five at your house?
Yes.
And he gave each one of you?
Each one. That's right.
That's an early Christmas present.
Oh boy. He gave us $100. And I remember at my young age, I thought I am going to be with this $100. I could buy a car and a house because I was, you know, going to be 12. I didn't know the value of money. I never saw a crispy blue $100 in my entire life. It was the first time. And I went upstairs and I hid it under my pillow. And after my adopted father left, my biological father came upstairs and said, "We are too young to have money." And he took the money from us.
So he took your $100?
Yes. So as fast as that money came into my hand, and me thinking I was able to buy myself a car and a house, it left. It was taken from me.
Your wealth was just taken from you
just
in a
like
split
that.
Second.
Yes. But not the wealth of my brains. I was always educated. So he could take his physical things, but not my mind. And I think that's why I'm still standing today. But anyhow, we met my adopted father there. And after so long, he recognized I was being abused. My biological father also had, to make money, he started, trying to give some of my siblings away for sexual reasons.
So your father.
Yes.
I can call it adopted father and call it father.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so it translates properly over the radio.
Yes.
Your father started, besides abusing you
physically, yes.
Right? He started to sell you all out.
Yes. Well, he tried.
He tried.
My adopted father stopped it before, and that's when he had to leave. My adopted father said, "If you do not leave this house, I walk out of this entire family." And at first, he paid him, gave him some money. Actually, my adopted father gave him, I remember, $20,000 to give us the best Christmas we could have.
And I know you, again, I don't want to rush the story.
Mm-hmm.
Your adopted father realized you were being abused.
Yes.
He realized that your father now, to the point where he's going to start selling you off
yes.
of sexual favors.
This is correct.
Out to people to make money, hustle money for,
yes.
for himself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And your adopted father, realizing that, tried to basically buy you all.
Yes.
Say, "Hey, I don't want you to abuse these children anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me give you money
mm-hmm.
so the pain
mm-hmm. yes.
stops."
Yes. No, so he can leave. Because my adopted father recognized that the only way our mindset would have changed, we were under the influence of my biological father. He could tell me, and he used to tell the women, the many women he had before, I could walk into the room with $10 in my hand, and he could tell me, "Jaya, you have $100. I know you have $100. And whether or not I have it, he'd tell me I have it. And so he was so manipulative that I would feel then in my bones that he actually knew what I had. So I had to give him everything. That's how it works. So my adopted father, recognizing this, recognized that in order for us to change and for us to become better, he needed to remove the wound or to sew the wound. And the wound at that time was my biological father.
Cut out the cancer.
Cut it right out. And he tried that. He gave him $20,000, which my biological father took very proudly, and he bought, you know, drugs and bought a gun, which he put to my head. He wanted to kill me at 12. Yes,
12
years old, just before I went to the military school in Canada for the first time.
We reached it yet.
Yes, sorry. But that's why I went to the military school. He tried to kill me. My adopted father then said, "You need to go home," because he's from Turks and Caicos. And he sent him with some more money to Turks and Caicos. The second time my father left, because the first time with the $20,000, he didn't leave. He bought back with his Ray-Ban glasses. He went out for weeks and weeks with his money, gambling it away. And then he came back broke. And then when my adopted father recognized that he misused him and took advantage of his financial support, my adopted father escorted him to the airport and stood at the airport until he saw the flight with him on it depart from the runway in Nassau.
And went to Turks and Caicos.
And went to Turks and Caicos, where he's been for as long as I could remember now.
Any of your siblings communicate with him?
Yes, some of them.
Still?
Yes. Yes, because my mother, when she was young, but before she died, you know, she said to us, whatever your father did to you, forgive him. And I choose to convince myself that I have forgiven him.
But you forgive your daddy?
Yes. Yes, I forgive him because I recognize my adopted father always says, it's not for you, it's not for him, it's for me. The only way I could move on, I could speak about him now and I could tell my story like this. Before, when I would speak about my story, I got angry, I got frustrated, I would cry, I would start shaking, I was on medication. Now I could speak about him because it's my story, but I forgave him. And I forgave him to the point where I now know when you forgive somebody, you don't have to talk to them anymore. Because whenever I speak to him, I thought in order for me to forgive him, if I say I forgive him, I have to talk to him. Of course, when you speak with him now, he goes back into the past. You think I intentionally beat your mother? She had demons in her. I tried to beat the demons out of her.
Beat the demons out of my mother.
With a conch shell and left her on the road and had her in the hospital and all these things, pulling her hair out, punching her in her face, almost breaking her mouth, her jaw a few times. That is what I grew up with. And I'm going to get emotional because I miss my mother very much.
And forgive me for this question. I want you to describe the abuse that you had.
Yes.
What you experienced.
Yes.
So the listeners can understand what you left.
Yes.
Why you left the Bahamas.
Yes, he used to... He used to stomp me. He used to beat me very bad. He had this way of punching you because he was a big guy. If anybody know my biological father, you would know he's a tall, heavy man. They used to call him Giant. That was his nickname. And when he would punch you, he would like a bear hug. And he would punch you and he would lose it. So his eyes would cross. So you never really... You always knew when it wasn't him anymore.
He became possessed.
He became possessed. I would say that's the only way to say it. And this is my father I'm talking about. And I don't want anybody to feel that they have the right to speak about my father in a negative way. Like I am speaking about him, but it's my story. And I have to tell it because it's this story that helped me where I am. It's this story that helped me as grateful as I am for any opportunity that I have. And so, yeah, he used to beat me. He used to stop me. And he would lose it. And he even went to knock me down with his car.
He went to knock me down,
let alone put the gun to my head and told me he was going to shoot me.
What did you do?
Oh, yeah.
To have a man, your mm-hmm, daddy, mm-hmm. who's supposed to love you, mm-hmm. put a gun to your head mm-hmm. and say, I can kill you.
Mm-hmm. I made a joke towards his girlfriend, who I still love very much, Miss Vanita. I made a joke, and she just mentioned it to him, not in any way to say, discipline him or anything like this. It wasn't an inappropriate joke, but it was a joke. Me and Miss Vanita, we get along quite well, and we actually spoke about this yesterday, and she remembered it. And she mentioned it to him, and he came upstairs, and he had a particular footstep. So when I heard this footstep, I went up thinking I was sleeping, in between sleep and wake, because I had just came from school and I didn't believe that he was coming for me because I didn't think I did anything. But all I knew was the footsteps he had. I ran instantly and I locked the door and he came knocking on the door. Bam, bam, bam. Jaya, Jaya, Jaya. And I said, what happened? And I said, I will not let you in this store until you calm down. This is me now at 12 speaking to my father. And he took his body. He's a big man. I should have never said that. And he punched the door down and I went trying to run from him. He kicked me down the stairs in Tropical Gardens. Started stamping on me, punching me like I told you with his bear-hugging punches. And he even choked me. And then Miss Vanita, standing at the door, at the back door, said to him, Giant, leave that boy alone. He ain't do nothing. Leave him alone. And he didn't stop. I guess he wanted to show off or show his dominance with his own young son. I don't know if that shows dominance or a sense of weakness. What can I say? But then I thought that was it. I ran upstairs saying I'm going to commit suicide because I was sick. And tired of the abuse. I was sick and tired of it. And I always thought the only way out of this is to commit suicide. I called my now adopted father, who was back then only the financial sponsor, and I told him what had happened. And before I knew it, I had to hang the phone up because I heard my father coming again. And this time he was coming with a gun, which he put to my head, and I had to put a pillow up between me and him. And I kept repeating, I love you, 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 I love you. And I had never seen a gun before in my entire life. Up to today, I'm still afraid of guns. And he pulled the clip down and it had
cocked the clip.
Yeah, these gold, no, to show me
the bullets.
The bullets. It had the gold bullet with a round red tip around it, like a little plastic red tip. I don't know what kind of gun it was, but when I described it, they could tell me exactly what kind of gun it was, because I had never seen no bullets before in my life. And I knew then that I couldn't let anything pass him. I have nightmares even up to now. I sometimes wake up thinking he's gonna shoot me. And this is now years ago.
Remind me about your siblings again. Mm-hmm. The five who was with him at the home, their age range. Mm-hmm. You were 12.
Yes, right? 11. So my brother would have been 12 because he was in 2001. So when he's 12 and I was 11, he will turn 13, I'll turn 12.
Okay.
The next one only could have been around 14 or 15. My sister probably was 16. And my biological father raped my sister too. He raped her a few times. My sister complained and told my mother that it happened. And my mother, of course, didn't want to believe it and said it's not true. And that still traumatizes my sister. But my sister, up to today, still speaks to my biological father as well. Without an apology, he never apologized. It's always been, I never did it. But we know what he did. We know what he did.
Do you love your daddy?
I love him with the love of the Lord. But I find it very difficult to say that I love him personally, because I think the only way I could even move towards loving him again the way I would love to love him is if he was or was able to say, Jaya, I'm sorry. I never heard not once, I'm sorry for what I did. It was always his way of trying to justify his actions and why he did what he did. It was never, I am sorry, never, for putting the gun to my head, for beating us, for allowing us to go into the orphanage home, all of these things he never apologized for, because in his head, he was always right. Always right.
I'm speaking today with, I could try and pronounce your name again, Kara Jaya. I get it close?
Yes, Kara Jaya, that's right.
Yes, Slagenhoff.
Slagenhoff, that's
Slagenhoff,
right.
Slagenhoff, right? Mm-hmm. And he was a Forbes until he was adopted, and we've now transitioned the story about how he was adopted. Right. And of course, I'm still doing that giveaway. And forgive me for the persons who called for the giveaway as Karajai was telling this story. But now you can call and I'll stop him when I see the lights blink up too, so you can pronounce his name and have the opportunity to win these two tickets for the real betrayal. I see the phone is ready. Light up. Put the first person. Oh, yeah. Put on the headphones. The make sure that they pronounce the name right. That's when we can get the prize, Karajai. And go ahead, producer. Pass the call through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Kara Jaya.
How'd that sound?
I didn't hear it.
Do it again.
Kara Jaya.
I can't hear.
Okay. This one. We haven't produced. Let me give you my earpiece for a minute. Come
okay. I want to know who this caller is, because this caller helped to know me to pronounce the name like this.
Repeat the caller. Say the name of him again.
Kara Jaya.
That's right. May I ask your name, please, caller?
I don't know you. My name is Pam.
Okay. Oh, wow. But that's the correct name, Kara Jaya. I never heard it pronounced so well and correctly in my entire life, other than myself. But
I stumble over it still, right? Miss Ma'am, leave your name and number with the producer.
That's all
right. And, and then I'll connect you.
Okay.
Also, we'll patch. I have another prize to give away. We'll have someone pronounce your last name.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yes.
That is what is difficult.
We can have the next person, after the producer takes the name for this person, we'll have the next person who's on hold pronounce the next name. And let me see what I'm going to be giving away. Yes. I'll be giving away a gift certificate from Premium Processed Foods Limited, right?
Wow.
Which is 1 3-pound bag of processed sheep tongue, actually. And they're having a seminar this Saturday at the Fox Hill Community Center. We're teaching entrepreneurs how to open a business and overcome the pitfalls and networking and stuff like that. And that's happening by Small Business 242. But this is for next prize. Patch the next caller through, producer. Let me see if you can pronounce the second name. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning to you guys.
Carajaya
Slaganut.
Did you hear it?
Yes, say it again.
Carajaya Slaganut.
I can't hear. Repeat the last name again, not the first name.
Slaganut?
No, Slaganut. No, it's not even. But it's close.
It's close enough?
It's close. Okay. Let's give it to him. Schlagenhauf. S-C-H-L-A-G-E-N-H-A-U-F. But it's close enough.
Yes. We can just leave your name with the producer. Go ahead.
Sunuri.
Go ahead.
That gentleman has a lifelong story. He needs to write an autobiography, man. He has to.
Definitely. But I want you to hear the story, because the story doesn't finish here. And I may have to bring him back on, because it's a good story to hear.
Breathtaking.
Breathtaking. But leave your name with the producer. I'll leave this gift certificate for you, and I'm going to continue most of the story right now as best I can. Okay? So you are now going through the adoptive process. Mm-hmm. Your adoptive father said, no, I got to get you away from this. Mm-hmm. He was able to secure two children.
Yes.
You and your older brother, who's a year older than you.
Yes.
Tell me that process, and then tell me the process of you going to, not Sweden, it's
Scotland.
Scotland. Tell me that process.
So before that, I went to, the military school in Canada. After leaving the military school, after my time there, he wanted us to really leave. I think it's this one. He wanted us to really leave. And we left the Bahamas and we went to Canada. I stayed there with my brother. After coming back, my brother stayed in Canada. I was a bit scared of the military school. You know, it was tough. I had just lost my mother. I was still young. I was 12, going on 13 then, so it was quite recently after. And so I was a bit afraid.
So the adoptive father sent us to a military boarding school,
all boys military boarding school in Rollingport, Ontario, Canada. And we stayed there. Then I came back to the Bahamas, went to Temple Christian for a stint, left Temple Christian, went to Windsor School in Albany. Yes. And then I left Windsor School in Albany, and my father said, I want you to go with the headmaster at the time, Mr. Jerry Young. He's the best individual, one of the best individuals I have ever met in my entire life. I would walk into Windsor sometimes angry about my life, and his smile alone would cause me to smile for the rest of the day. He was that kind of individual. And my dad encountered him once, and he said he liked him so much when he found out that Mr. Young was leaving Windsor and he was going back to Scotland, where he's from. He said, do you want to go to Scotland with him? And I said, yes. Had never heard about Scotland. I've only been to London. Didn't know anything about Scotland. Went to Scotland. Before I went to Scotland, because I want to go into the head boy part now, but before I went to Scotland, a few months before, I think Mrs. Sandina Neely, the director of youth in the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, would remember this. It was Lanisha Roll was the minister at the time, and I had to present a painting to one Mr. Nicholas Johnson, and he was the first black valedictorian at Princeton University in the United States. And anyhow, before I presented him with the painting online, I said to him, one day I'm going to make history just like you. He was the first black valedictorian in 200 and something years in Princeton's history. And I went 2 months after that over to Scotland, and I became the first black haired boy at my school in Scotland in 144 years. And so I was so surprised.
First black
Bohemian haired boy. I wanted
to
be
also
Bohemian at that. And you know, the school is quite diverse. We have over 36 nationalities there, but the majority are Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I always used to say, I don't know if I'm in Scotland or if I'm in Germany, because, you know, we had a lot of Germans and I love them very much. You know, it's quite a nice place to be. But I was the first black-haired boy, and I was so proud of myself. I looked up and I said, Mommy, look at me. I finally thought I had made myself, I was worthy of my mother's love. Of my mother's love, even though she was already dead. I always wish she could just come and look down at me and tell me if she's happy about what I'm doing. Sometimes I look up to the white roof in my home and I say to her, Mommy, are you happy? Before this interview today, mm-hmm. I said, Mommy, what do you think I should say? Should I say everything? Should I not say everything? And I'm just being led now by what I'm saying, but I think she's a bit happy. I don't know. I hope she's happy for me.
I'm sure she is happy and proud to see that you survived.
Yes.
And not only survived,
mm-hmm.
that you have overcome and now you're thriving,
mm-hmm.
right? You're a success story,
mm-hmm.
where Bohemians who hear your story, mm-hmm. you're just proud to say, that's a Bohemian that I can mm-hmm. touch and be mm-hmm. physically mm-hmm. connected
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Scotland,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You followed the headmaster at Windsor.
Yes.
To go to Scotland.
Yes.
And this was an all-boys boarding
yes.
school again?
Yes. And yes, it was a co-ed. It was an all-girls school at one point. And I was the first black head boy, but the 21st head boy. So the first black one, but mm-hmm. we had recently transitioned over to a co-educational school a few years before. So it mm-hmm. was quite historic.
And you mentioned that it was a diverse school. So
very
they
diverse.
Had people from all around the
all
world.
Walks
so already
of
had
life.
Black people
yes.
there.
Yes.
But
yes.
you just happened to be the first black,
black one
to get to head
yes.
boy.
Yes.
So it was not a simple accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's
no,
a grand
no.
accomplishment.
And also, CA, the thing about it is I was running against, I think, I don't know, 6, 7, 10 other boys. And these are students who were at the school since years one
mm-hmm.
and pre-K up to years 13
yes.
because, of course, we don't do grade. So grade one would be year two in the curriculum that we were following, the IB curriculum in Scotland. And so I was there. And so, of course, there was a lot of students who felt that they deserved. And after so long, I started questioning myself, like, why me? Why did I become? And then I started questioning after so long. I said, why not me?
Mm.
After the life I went through and after the things I did, why not me? And so, of course, the mindset changed. And I mean, I hope I did an amazing job at St. Leonard's. I don't know, but I hope I did an amazing job.
While this is where I first encountered you in
yes.
terms of an interview,
mm-hmm.
right? I say,
mm-hmm.
oh, this boy, this Bohemian has made an accomplishment that is impossible to be a foreigner.
Yes.
To go up against what I call an elite class.
Oh, yes.
And win over them to become head boy.
Indeed.
Is a phenomenal.
After four months of being at the school, we had an interview. And normally the headmaster, he has the interview with all of the students who is running for the leadership position. And then he wait one day and then he comes back. Well, he didn't wait one day. He waited a few hours. I met with him. I was the first student to meet with him at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I think around 6 o'clock that evening, it was cold. I remember him meeting us and he said, we would like Harajai to be the head boy. And before he mentioned my name, I was already calling somebody else's name in my mind who I thought was the right one for the job because Zach Conwell was his name, Scottish himself. And he was there since years pre-K to year 13. So he knew the school inside and out. And
yes.
I think he also had family members who went there before him. So if anybody was justified, I thought he was the head boy. And he said, Karajaya, you could only imagine the emotions that filled, that filled my heart, that filled my mind. And I was like, oh boy, I've made it, but not yet. I still don't think I've made it. Yes, I became the head boy. Yes, I became the youth and leadership award in the Bahamas and all these other things and Director's Cup recipient, but I still haven't arrived anywhere yet.
Still
on
that journey.
I am still on the journey. That's
true,
right.
True. While you were in Scotland getting this interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the new circuit and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I saw commentary
mm-hmm.
that, but you weren't no real Bohemian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see that? I mean,
oh, yes.
I saw it.
I read
it. I said, you weren't, this were by Bohemians,
yes. mm-hmm.
but I said you were abroad. So
mm-hmm.
this commentary, the negative commentary, mm-hmm. does have mm-hmm. no impact on you because you will never see this.
No.
You're trying to see, did you see it?
I saw it. I've seen it. And I remember watching, I can't remember which Facebook page it was on, but it was a social media post. They were speaking about me. And I remember speaking to actually one of my guardians, Caroline Muir, about it. And I think her daughter is watching. Hi, Emma. Nice to see you all the way from Scotland watching. Hi. There was some comments about he's not a real Bohemian, where he got this funny name from. Bohemians always want to claim other people when they... And I remember reading a comment. It said, imagine if this boy was reading the comments that some of y'all are writing. And I also saw just how some people were talking about me negatively. There were some people who know who I am or who knew who I was. Because before I went to Scotland, I represented the constituency of Angleston in 2019 in Youth in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And I advocated during speaking on climate change and cyberbullying. So it was not my first time, in the papers or on the news, but it was probably the first time some of the Bohemians, but they didn't support. I think there was a sense of jealousy. pregnancy and all kind of other things. And I read it, and it made me cry, because I was like, is this the country that I... Because I didn't have to come and say I was the first Black Bohemian head boy. I could just say I'm the first Black head boy, and that was it. But I wanted the story to go out there because I wanted to motivate other young Bohemians. That's what I stand for. To say, if I made it through this, you can make it through it as well. If I went through abuse, if I had such a horrible life and I was given opportunity knocked at my door, if I could do it, you could do it too. That was the reason I wanted my story out there. And so, you know, it brought tears to my eyes, but I recognized that it's not my job to justify who I am, or for people to, or for me to say, this is why you should like me. If you don't like me, that's okay. But, you know, I don't know. It's DMACC. I was speaking to you about it earlier. Mm-hmm. Dog don't bark at parked car that goes nowhere. The only time they start barking is when the car starts moving. And so my motivational quote is now, well, I will just pull off and leave the car exhaust in their faces, because I am heading to greater heights. And whether I have people supporting me, and I have a big team in my village, Sandina Neely, Miss Sands, Mrs. Shalimar Johnson, my adopted father, Miss Vanita Sanders Green, some of my friends in Scotland and Germany, I have a big village that supports me. So I will be doing an injustice to them and also myself if I was to look at those negative comments and say it's going to pull me down. I went through too much to allow those little comments on Facebook and all these other things to pull my character down. They have to do something bigger than that.
Imagine, can anything good come out of the system? Can anything good come out from someone who came out of the children's home?
I'm a living testimony that it can.
God is good.
That it can. Indeed, very much it can.
We have a caller who wants to engage you in it. Right after that, we're going to take a commercial break, right after that, as we do the last 15 minutes of the show. But let me patch the caller through. Producer, patch the caller through for me.
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm trying to find out. First, I want to say for all what I done hear about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, as a Bohemian. I feel proud to be a Bohemian.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy to know a lot of us out there making the Bahamas proud.
Yes, like Rodney Munker say, this is powerful.
This is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I was wondering if he said head girl or head boy. Which one?
Head boy.
Head boy, mm-hmm. Okay. Listen, two things. Some of us get children and we want the best for our children. We're scared of some of the things that are going on in the world, so we try to protect them as much as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way to go? But first, I should ask you. No, even if you ain't a parent, right? You might not be a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but would you suggest we try to protect them? You think it's good for us to send them overseas for the experience and stuff?
Yes, I would say that only because, you know, oftentimes when we graduate from high school in the Bahamas, we are only told about the United States. Oh, you should go to the United States. Oh, you should go to the United States.
So how do you deal with the scary part, things where people take advantage of you and stuff? But you was that fortunate that everything was good?
Yes, I was very fortunate. I was not taking advantage, actually. I was a boarder in this school in Scotland. And so, you know, we were very protected. And I must say, of course, if a lot of times that's what stops a lot of us from, you know, experiencing...
So the parents, they do to protect your children. The parent, you should feel comfortable sending your children. That's all boys or all girls.
No, it's an all boys and girls. So it's both. It's now co-ed. So, and also, it's all boys in one house and it's all girls. But we have staff who lives there 24/7 and who works there. And so, I mean, I have never heard a complaint about... We've lost a caller. But yes, but thank you for the question. But, you know, for those who he was basically asking what I thought about Bohemians going abroad. And I would say that it's actually very important for you to have, a brighter horizon. And I'm not saying that you should go and never come back. What I am saying, however, is that you should go and gain as much experience, because you cannot learn everything in your country. You must go out there and gain more experience and then come back and develop. The Governor General told me, just to wrap up, he said, you must learn, earn, and then return. And that was the Governor General's words to me. And I learned, I am earning, and I am going to be returning at some point as well.
We're having an interview with Mr. Karen Jara, Savinhoff. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
That's right.
We're going to take a commercial break right now, and then we wrap up when we come back.
That's correct.
Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
Why are you so slow? ready?
Y'all are getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game started in 1989 under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org
or call 322-1029.
I've been everywhere, man.
Today's Uniform Center. We've traveled to every island in this here land, man. We go everywhere. We can go to every rock and key, Abaco to Inagua, even Ragged Island, The Rock. Celebrate our country's 50th independence with Janae's special limited edition. Sublimated t-shirts and caps in 10 different styles and colors. Get up to 50% off on cotton polo shirts only. Don't forget to embroider your company's logo to celebrate this independence at Janae's Uniform Center, Chesapeake Road. Call 394-8385 or 6. WhatsApp, text only, 817-3295. Email sales@janaes.com.
I've been everywhere.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio at AM with C.A. Nuri. I'm talking to Mr., let me try this name, Karen Jaira Slagenhoff,
mm-hmm.
The last name I can pronounce, actually. There's a Karen Jaira that I have issues with, and I'm glad I'm able to pronounce as best I can. You have a number of badges, mm-hmm. identification medals type mm-hmm. things on your mm-hmm. on your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean?
So the first one is the Rod of Leadership. This I got, of course, you know, when you are a leader and an advocate for something, you wear this badge. The Bahamian flag, first because I'm a Bahamian, for those who want to know what's my nationality, but also because, you know, I was, like I said, a two-time youth parliamentarian, and I represented both times constituency of Angliston, the Minister of Education's constituency. I did it the first time in person in the House of Assembly, and then it was COVID in 2020, and I represented all the way from Scotland online, and I served as the deputy chair, deputy to the speaker, so I was the deputy speaker. And then, of course, the circle here is our 50th independence, which is coming up in the next 20 or so days. And so I'm all geared up for independence. And then that's basically it. So it's basically all about my life and the life that I now have as an advocate for youth.
You're a proud Bahamian.
Proud Bahamian. Yes, I'm proud to be Bahamian. Very proud.
And you shine when you talk about the Bahamas.
Yes, yes. I'm glowing. No, the Bahamas is a beautiful place and it's my home. And that's why I came back. You know, I live now in Switzerland. I'm studying hospitality management there. But I'm now doing an internship at SLS. And I got offers from all around the world, including Spain at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Arts Barcelona in Spain. And I said to my father, Beat, please, let me just come back just once.
Home.
Because I was missing the Bahamian food. That's yes. The first thing. The food in Switzerland is not the very best, you know, in terms of the seasonings that they use. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I just want some lobster or crunk or something. So I came home for that. But also because I wanted to give back so far of what I've already gained through the education at my university. And so now I'm interning for the next 2 months or so at the SLS, which is a luxury brand and also it's a lifestyle brand. And SLS at Bahamar, so I'm interning there, and I'm working with an amazing team, and so they should check out the website at some point as well, SLS Bahamar.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you know I got to bring you back, right?
Yes, please.
Because I need to hear about what university you go to. What university are you attending right now?
Gleon Institute of Higher Education in Switzerland.
And I need to go into detail about your time in the military school, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. your time in Scotland, mm-hmm. and the story continues. Mm-hmm. Your journey continues.
Yes.
But I'm already out of time. Invitation to you that yes. you need to come back.
Yes.
I need to document your mm-hmm. journey because it's a testimony for Bahamians, young mm-hmm. Bahamians, to know that good things can come out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up. Perseverance. Mm-hmm. Education mm-hmm. is a way to escape mm-hmm. and do great things. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And CA, just before we wrap up, I just want to say to those young people listening, if they're listening to me, don't stop believing in yourselves. If I can do it, you can do it too. So if nobody listened to anything I had to say today, I want to speak to that 20-year-old boy or girl or younger. Believe in yourself and you will achieve. Thank you.
This has been Guiding Me on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.